here's a place where we are not stupid. At least you, the listeners, are not. Sometimes I am, but usually the people I bring on are not. Either way, the second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Also replayed on Ocelli.com, various other places, YouTube, wherever it is you're hearing this. We do appreciate you tuning in. So, it's the second hour Wednesday, and yes, we did start to uncover sort of, well, peel back the layers of the onion, so to speak, on the legal fiction and where it's rooted, and gee, it's not something brand new, and it wasn't created by the Federal Reserve, although they might have been created by somebody. More to come on that later. Daniel Lewis Crumpton is with me in the second hour. He is the guy behind downloadedcontent.com, the author of Then Came the Flood, and just a guy I happen to know, you know, just like that graphic that he put up on my website at one point, which says, the, you know, that guy, you know. Well, here's Daniel. How you doing, man?
It's a funny story. I'm at a crazy sex party with, like, a pan of brownies, some flip-flops, and a squeegee, right? And, you know, hey, man, what's up, dude? What's going on in the world, dude? Have you humans started World War III yet?
Well, you know, I don't know. I've been kind of tuned out the past couple of days. Doesn't seem as though that's happened. I got to say that they are chemtrailing over Georgia. But outside of that, you know, because I did decide to look at the sky, what else have I observed? You know, not a lot. I mean, I've listened a little bit to this and that because I can't help myself, but... No, I don't think World War III has officially yet begun. But, hey, there's plenty of other conflict to be had here at home. The police state is still doing what it's doing. Surveillance is still, you know, surveillance. You know, we still live on the land, although we don't really know what our legal standing is in reality. All of that good stuff. And meanwhile, it's not really connected to anything that's truly part of the system. In general, but hey, what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
I don't know, man. I passed by the TV today and I had my earbuds in and I saw some talking head talking about North Korea and some bombs and some meetings with senators. And I was just like, eh, same old, you know, fear. We're always about to go to war and there's always some lunatic somewhere with a, you know, his finger on a button somewhere where he's going to get a nuclear weapon and we're sitting on like, I don't know how many nuclear weapons, but we're the good guys and I don't really understand it anymore, dude. It's becoming so much more alien to me as days go by, this whole geopolitical thing. It's like a TV show. Cause like I walked by the TV today and it was like a local NBC affiliate or whatever. And they're talking, these two people are talking. It's clearly a green screen, you know, with like pointless rubber duckies or whatever behind them that has no context to what they're talking about. And then they're like, all right, now we're going to go to Anne Frankenso or whoever, and she's like in New York City. She's never met these cats. She gives like a real serious report about North Korea and missiles and senators, and then she's like, back to you, as if she knows these people, as if she's ever, you know, like walked into the same studio with them. This chick's like in New York City. She gets handed a piece of paper or a teleprompter that says, say this about North Korea, America, Russia, whatever. And then she just reads it, and then they pass it down to their local affiliates, and that's how local people get their news, and it's just such a joke. It's like, that chick didn't even know those two anchors. It's like five people telling the world what's going on in the world through the news, the mainstream news, man. It's such a joke.
But the real question is, you know, did she look good?
No!
Of course,
you
not.
Know,
okay.
Fox News was on to something there. I mean, you know, give us some bad news with some lipstick, but nah, this chick was kind of a mutt. You know,
given the fact that you know they got so many sexual harassment settlements, I don't know that because you heard about that. I know you heard about that, and we're going to keep hearing about that.
But hey, whoa. Chuck, did I not say? Now look, it looks like Sean Hannity's raring to fight like the chicken hawk from Foghorn Leghorn. He's like, ah, come and get you out, whatever that damn chicken says. But did I not say last week on your show that something about Sean Hannity was going to come creeping up?
You know what? You did, and I did not believe you.
Yeah, buddy, I said it. It's documented.
Because I did not. You know why? Because look at Sean Hannity. Right. This guy does not exude confidence. He doesn't exude anything. I mean, if that's peacocking, then, you know, I think his parents owe him some damages for hitting him on the head too hard, because that's not how you do it. So this guy doesn't seem to have that, you know. He seems to be all bottled up. He's a better actor, I guess. You know, Bill O'Reilly, I can believe, and Roger Ailes. I mean, you know, if this guy was eating puppies in between newscasts, I would be like, okay, that's perfectly, and I mean live puppies, by the way. You know, I'd say, okay, this is fine. I understand. This makes sense. But but Sean Hannity is just. I mean, come on.
Yeah, man. But this is, and she backed up a little bit, which I thought was funny. So there's something there. And I'm not saying he's like a Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly, we know what he is. I mean, there's audio tape of him talk about sponges and stuff, which is weird. But I don't know. Sean Hannity, to me, I don't get the vibe that he's doing that type of thing. But this is just the first salvo, buddy. You know, and it's like, this is what you get. And look, man, nothing personal, guys. You took a paycheck during that whole after 9/11 thing, and you really took advantage of ramping up unconstitutional wars in other countries where a lot of people, brown-skinned people and Americans died and then came home, you know, all screwed up in the head. You guys did really, you know, have a part in that. And I got news for people like that, man. You know, karma is a bitch, dude. Karma is a bitch. So,
especially if you sexually harass her, she becomes a little more angry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing here. It's well past. Just, you know, these guys are boorish and they're just, you know, rude, crude, whatever. Oh, they're not politically correct. No, dude. Listen, there's a difference between being, you know, provocative in your speech or being, irreverent and being an ass. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Wasn't it Bill O'Reilly, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Bill O'Reilly during the whole war on terror, like when we first got behind that crap, he was like, if you're not for it, just shut up. Was that Bill O'Reilly?
I don't know if he directly said that, but I mean, he's one of those guys, and that's pretty much the game plan over at Fox News. It was like, you know, we're the real American place. So that's why we have, you know, graphics where the American flag waves 24 hours a day, and, you know, and we're going to give you the real news because we're not part of the mainstream liberals, and they're the people that want to give the country away, and we're for the troops, and, you know, I mean, it's all part of that whole conglomerate of nonsense. So, I don't know if he's specifically the guy, but I do know that he was doing that whole Patriots and Pinheads thing.
Yeah.
I find it amusing that he's now reduced to a podcast, which is too funny. He puts out a podcast, you know, 12 minutes long, trying to tell people, hey, look, you know, the truth is going to come out. Don't worry. 12 minutes worth of Bill O'Reilly. And at this point, it's free. But pretty soon he's going to erect a pay site. And I'm almost willing to bet he's going to do pretty well.
Oh, yeah, man. He's got his money. He'll be all right. Just, yeah. could you stop flaming more wars for us, buddy, and quietly go away now? You know, let the fates deal with his ass and the others too.
Yeah, well, when is enough enough, right? A series of books killing somebody or other and buying the official story no matter what. You know, I mean, seriously, he went from Kennedy to Lincoln to
Jesus. His next one's going to be killing Bill Cosby or something.
Well, you know what? Maybe. And I wonder, we should probably look back and see what his editorializations were about Bill Cosby, which, by the way, I don't necessarily buy the whole Bill Cosby story. And the other thing is that when it comes down to it, there are going to be opportunists now that are going to jump on the bandwagon, you know, claiming all sorts of – I mean, I saw news clips of, like, there was a series of them on YouTube of different women that are talking heads on other networks basically going, yeah, I was sexually harassed at Fox 2. I was sexually harassed at Fox 2. Like, they're all jumping on it. They were all sexually harassed, all of them. You know, and some of them I'm not so sure why they're saying it, but I'm just saying that, you know, when you see something that comes out in public like this, opportunists also arrive. And not only the legitimately injured people, and I'm very sure that there are legitimately traumatized women, because, you know, if I saw Bill O'Reilly coming at me or calling me up masturbating or whatever it is that they're assuming he did, and, you know, and he was doing all this stuff. I might find that traumatic too. But it doesn't mean that every claim is real.
Now that we're entering a new era where we have non-binary, we have this complete new gender thingy going on, which to me is just, it's funny. It's a funny topic. But have you ever been sexually harassed in a workplace, Chuck? Just out of curiosity? Sexually harassed?
But here's the thing. I can't think of feeling as though I was assaulted in any way during any actions in a workplace. I can't think of it. Now that might be, you know, because of who I am. maybe I'm just not attractive enough to get sexually harassed. I'm not sure, but
I guess I'm trying to say, where's your threshold? Where does an individual define that I'm being harassed? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I guess it's different for everybody.
Well, that was my second thought, is that, you know what, if there was interplay with female coworkers, I don't think I would take it as harassment, even if it was a bit over the top or whatever. I don't know. I'm generally oblivious to, like, flirting and this kind of stuff. I'm weird like that. So I'm not a good guy to ask this question, I think. Or maybe, I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know, man. I feel that I have, but I didn't get any money out of it or anything. but yeah.
I did once, wait a minute, now come to think of it, I did once have, I don't know if I would call it sexual harassment. I just thought of it as an annoyance, and it was a guy. Like, it didn't last long. And I just kind of dealt with it, and that was it. And I didn't think of, you know, going and complaining about it or saying anything about it, and I didn't feel injured by it. I was just kind of annoyed and kind of said, you know, like, annoy me enough, and I'm going to punch you in the mouth pretty much. And that was the end of the story. That happened. So I guess that would be an unwanted sexual advance that I received in work, but I don't know. I just didn't see it as something that bothered me.
Yeah, man.
Maybe we need a woman to talk about this.
I don't know. But, yeah, I feel it was a dude with me, too. It was highly, highly, like, across professional lines where I was like, listen, man, you want to be gay? Look, I ain't got a thing against gay people, but this is not a recruiting center, okay? And I know that you could probably claw my eyes out now. And, yes, your nails are very pretty, if that's politically correct for me to say at the workplace. I'm not quite sure. But you are making references to, like, my balls and stuff. And then you're actually making physical gestures into my territorial bubble that I find uncomfortable. So there's one of two things that are going to happen. You either take your fabulous fingers a little bit back into your stratosphere, or somebody's going to get violent. It's probably going to be me. And then it's going to be a whole big mess to figure out what's going to be what. But I ain't ever been sexually harassed by a female.
No, see, that's the thing, is I'm going through, and I've worked jobs since I was a teenager. You know, the past couple of years I haven't worked, but I mean, virtually my whole life I had a job of some kind, in various places with all sorts of different people, various levels of, you know, nothing, never had like a huge corporate gig or anything like that, but I've had all sorts of jobs, yeah. And I can't think of one time that a female sexually harassed me. No.
Yeah. Just weird. Just an observation. I don't know.
I don't know. Have you asked other guys this question?
No, you're the first. How you feel?
I don't know, but I think we need to ask more guys this question.
Good question. Yeah, you already put a poll up on your page, man.
I feel
that you've been sexually harassed as a male.
This is something. Yes, and how? True. I want to hear how, because yeah. I'm having trouble imagining it.
You ought to open up your phone lines one night and let's hear from people out there about that. That'd be an interesting psychological journey.
I don't know. The last time I opened up the phone lines, I got called stupid and all kinds of stuff. which was kind of funny, but who knows what we'll get if we do. Maybe we should do that, though. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I'm full of them.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. No.
In other news.
In other news. Yeah, because I know this wasn't what was on your mind, but it just kind of sprung forth when we're talking about this.
Mm-hmm. I got some bad news, man. I was kind of bummed out about this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was a bummer. You know how people add you to Facebook groups?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm added to a ton, and I guess like back in the Zen in the Car years, you know, I got added to this whole plethora of groups like the light workers. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I think I might be in the Lightworkers as well, and a bunch
Are
of other
you?
Good God groups. Yeah.
Okay. Tell everybody listening what a Lightworker is. Explain to them what this whole deal is.
No. Because I have heard this bandied back and forth and debated. I don't want to get involved in the debate. You represent it if you want.
No, I'm not. I just want your quick definition so people out there can kind of get an idea of what, you know, what a quote light worker is.
Well, my understanding is that this is somebody who works in the ethereal a bit and does it, you know, for positive means. That was my basic understanding of what the term meant, but apparently that's not what it means. So, again, I don't want to get involved in trying to define other people's labels because I don't have time for it, okay? But that's the basics as far as I can tell. Okay. But some people have very specific attributes that you're supposed to have if you're a light worker, in quotes. So go ahead and tell people what yours is.
Okay, I mean, from my understanding, and I'm gonna do like you, I'm not trying to define these people. If you identify yourself as a light worker, I'm sorry if I'm gonna do a hatchet job on your title, okay? Forgive me. But from my understanding, like a light worker is somebody who is supposed to be from a higher frequency and dimension and brings about love and light and things like that, right? Like the elevation and the ascension of mankind, and we're all light workers, and namaste, you know? Everything is namaste. I mean, I get the word. I appreciate the word, but
no, I get the word and I appreciate the word too. But your definition there goes even further into what I just basically said, which is, you know, look, you're on a higher frequency. Okay, so you have some spiritual adept, you know, concept in your mind, and you're working toward the higher cause, if you will. See, that's all I get from it. But these people, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm like, okay, cool. Glazing over your self description, I kind of dig what you're doing. You're not making the world a worse place, so I kind of get where you're coming from, right? Now,
anybody who's motivated by positive things, you know, you always got to give them a bit of slack when it comes to some of their stupidity and everything else because they mean well. You know what I mean? People that mean well and aren't harming anybody are so much more acceptable than people who are completely foolish and are doing harm to others. You know what I mean? So even when you see this and it's sort of like you guys have no clue what you're talking about or anything else, but you're not hurting anybody, you sit back and you go, hey, look, that's cool.
Yeah,
right?
That's cool. Thank you for letting me be in your Facebook group and stuff, you know, and I appreciate it, you know, and I'll post my articles there because I'm like, well, by my definition, things that I write and do and, you know, funny little videos I make, they do help mankind ascend. They do help mankind evolve through laughter or through wit or through critical thinking or sarcasm. But I believe in my heart that my work is, you know, in the, I guess you would put it in the light worker camp. It may not be orthodox light worker stuff, but it's light worky, right? I mean, I talk about stuff like chakras, and I'm more of a Bill Hicks attitude towards it, but that's a good bit of my content, like light worker-y stuff, right, Chuck?
Well, yeah, but and life and love involve a lot of things, not necessarily, you know, simply making somebody laugh, making somebody smile. You've improved that moment in time for them. So, you know, if you do something like that, that is a positive. And every single positive thing you can exhort to come into being in the universe, to me, again, positive thing. Even if you're just making, you know, a small group of people happy, like let's just say you're a guy who doesn't do this in public, but just has, you know, 3-4 friends, but you're the joker of the lot, and you keep everything light, and you keep things moving, and you make stuff fun so that people are enjoying their lives, and you've improved the lives of a handful of people, you're doing a good thing. I'm happy with you. Yeah, sure.
See, that's why you rock. You get it. So I was very, very bummed out to get a message from the administrator. Sounded very serious. From the administrator of the Facebook group, Lightworkers of the World, and I would like to read it to you, Chuck.
Oh boy. Okay, I'm preparing because I know what this usually sound like. And
I was very this really messed up my chi, and I want to talk to you about it, okay?
Did this really bum your vibes?
I don't know where my yin is or my yang, and I need your help, Uchelli. Oh, my God. Oh. Okay, ready?
Don't spin, right. Don't spin. All right. Okay.
All right. You ready? For real. Yes. I'm not going to give the person's name, but this is the administrator of Lightworkers of the World.
No, Daniel. And I will have you read this unmolested. Go right. Ahead.
Daniel. Wait, it's a chick, so let me do the voiceover. Daniel, Lightworkers of the World has deleted several videos you've posted in the last 2 days. Thank you, Jesus, for yoga pants. Sherry gets her period. And two voices in my head are highly inappropriate for the group. In addition, we've removed you from the group. If you wish to reapply, you will need to read the group's posting guidelines, which are in the group's description. We wish you well on your journey, but right now, we don't see you in harmony with what we are all about. And then I got bumped from the group.
Is that the whole message?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, on face value, you might have a point.
Well, look, but here's the thing. If you're in harmony with the universe, why would you be disturbed by somebody getting their period? Why would you be disturbed by thank Jesus for yoga pants? Why would you be disturbed by two voices in someone's head? In fact, if you're a light worker, should you not be working to help them get through dealing with those two voices in their head? If that's the thing, and you're just dealing with the titles, obviously, of the videos, which I'm sure were YouTubes of short pieces of podcasts that you put out the torrents, right? And, and here's the funny part. I know I'm involved in a couple of those.
Yeah. And what's really got me baking my noodle right now is, like, in the whole world of light workers and dark workers, what am I now? Like, where I'm at in their story? You know, am I a gray Jedi? What am I now? I am no longer a light worker. Facebook told me so. Okay.
You've become Darth Crumpton.
Okay. Yes. Darth Dick. Called him to the dark side of the force, the dark workers. What? I mean, dude, this person takes it, and what's bad about it is it's like a really old lady by the picture. Man, and this is her world, so she kicked me out of her super secret society of light working mofos. So I feel bad about that.
But you see, you shouldn't, because on the one hand, look, you're perfectly eligible to be kicked out of any private club at any time, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You know what I mean? So why not? But at the same time, it's very strange. These are inappropriate. Didn't describe why they were inappropriate. Didn't explain it. Just said, see our rules, which is pretty funny because I don't know. Are light workers people that are actually involved in working on a higher frequency? Is one of their tools Facebook?
I don't really know, man. It is what it is, dude. It's great. The internet's great. People being able to access spiritual documents like the Bhagavad Gita and learn words like namaste and learn about chakras and chi and reiki and all that. I think it's absolutely fabulous, but there is like this layer forming on the internet. This top layer of just, it's so glitter and glam and it's ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to say their name, but it's some chick in my friends list or whatever. And she's like new age and she is smoking hot, dude. I mean, she is smoking hot. She looks like she walked out of Sports Illustrated or something, you know, smoking hot. And she's got like that Marilyn Monroe, that Norma Jean voice. Right? And every picture that she puts up on all of her social stuff is basically her in a bikini. Right? And, you know, but she's like a light worker and she has been given the ability from Lord Metatron to do this thing with her voice. And it has like a whole big acronym like acoustic tone hyper ascension voice therapy. And I'm like, bitch, that's called hypnosis. Okay. This isn't some new shit. This is some stuff they've been doing for a minute. You just do it looking hot as hell, okay? It's so
come to my site when I do this week's Metatron card reading, and I'll give you your retrograde Mercury. And you're sitting there just looking at her tits, man. She could be saying anything,
dude. I know what you're talking about. I know who you're talking about now.
Oh, she's smoking hot. She's smoking hot. And I'm like, chick, all them likes and smiley faces are not for your tarot card reading, baby doll. Just look, switch legs. I know that one's getting sleepy. Okay? Oh, that's what all these likes are for, babe. I don't give a damn about retrograde Mercury can crash into Jupiter. I don't give a crap. Just keep talking in that voice, sweetheart. And you could call it whatever you want to. Every day in Middle Georgia is Air Force Appreciation Day. Whatever. It's still hypnosis. It's just hypnosis done very, very well.
Well, and look, and unfairly too. You want me to explain this to you real quick, just for the for the benefit of the audience more than you, but
I'd love you for the ching wangs, Chuck.
This is always where I get myself in trouble, by the way. But here we go. The reason why this happens is that when you have a woman who has been, you know, drooled over for so long, there is a built-in bit of hypnosis that's part of our physiology that, you know, a lot of men, I guarantee you, love to follow her, love to watch her stuff, don't know the first thing about the zodiac, the planets. They don't know what planet they're on, and she's telling them about how the planets are going, right? Okay. It doesn't matter because they're not concerned with the globe that they're standing on or the globes that they could observe through a telescope up in the sky. They're concerned with her globes. So she has garnered this attention.
So you know this chick, right?
I know exactly who you mean.
Real pale skin.
Yes, which is what caught my attention because I love pale skin women. But the thing is that no matter what, okay, no matter what she says, she could be on there going, and you make a lasagna this way. And dudes would be like, I got to see my cooking show.
Yeah,
that is – it wouldn't matter. She could do those things with on YouTube where, you know, grown people get together and they play with toys for kids to watch a video. She could do that as long as she's in the video.
Yeah.
Millions of guys will watch it over and over again. I promise you. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody.
Getting spiritual as hell, too.
You get real spiritual. They'd watch her play with Beanie Babies, you know, pillow fights, cooking show. Doesn't matter. Bring the bikini, though, hon, because that helps.
Be like, this chick said she'd get my chi up. She wasn't lying. Dude. Nah, man.
Did we just cyber sexually harass her?
I don't know. Hey, Chad, man, whatever.
Okay, just checking. I just
whatever,
wanted to check.
Dude. I don't work with her.
No, me neither. But, you know, given that she works in the confines of the larger universe as a light worker, it is perhaps, you know.
Well, I'm not a light worker anymore. I got kicked out by the administrator of the Light Workers of the World Association on Facebook, so I can say whatever I want to. That chick is hot, dude. Keep it up, girl. You call it whatever you want to.
Yes, this is metaphysical cooking. I'm going to open the oven and put this pan of lasagna in. Long shot. Pan the room, please.
All them likes on it. Which, I don't know. It's crazy because it's getting crusty up there, man. You know? Yeah, everybody's reading tarot cards now, dude, for $5.99 a minute. Skype.
Yeah, well, listen, if you want somebody to communicate with you and tell you something in particular, you can find a way to pay for it. That's a guarantee. You can find a lot of things to look at for free out there on the internet. That's for free, except for the fact that you're paying for your internet. You know, there's tons of ways to go about this, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you found inner peace or a solution to any of the problems in your life, but it is a distraction for just a little while.
Yeah.
And even if it is a pale-skinned chick who you don't really care about what she's saying because you're looking at her, it all works. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm going to get a hate mail over
but
this.
I'm sorry that whenever I first saw that chick's first video where she was like trying to do like a GoFundMe or something to raise money, and I'm sure she banked it on that, buddy. But she's
trying to raise money because I've heard that the tone of my voice is very relaxing and makes people go into a trance. And so I'm going to be doing this entire podcast with, you know, my autonomous voice therapy, you know.
it's called hypnosis. All right, just call it what it is. It's just hot hypnosis, you know. I'll give you a dollar. Just don't lie.
But it is. But listen, it, legitimately, it is hypnotic. It does change your frequency in your brain, as well as the blood flow and to other areas. Right. Mm. So you know it can actually have a physiological effect. So I don't begrudge her industry. Yeah.
You got to watch chicks like that, dude. You got to watch chicks with a voice like that, with a cute and innocent voice. You know what I mean? Just got to be careful. That's all I'm saying, fellas.
When they're like that, you know, out in public and stuff, and they're all quiet and mousy, just be careful.
Just be careful. Get some, I don't know, just get some protective gear if you score, because she don't sound like that when you're alone.
Protective gear?
Yeah, you're gonna break something. You know what I'm talking about, Chuck.
I know, but I was just picturing the full body condom, actually. Sorry. You've got me in a very strange place here now.
Just saying.
I was going to talk about law enforcement and stuff like that, and we end up discussing this. It's great, though. But it is amazing to see that this kind of stuff prevails no matter what. And still, by the way, I still occasionally get the random contact from the Skype girls who I'm still don't know exactly what to make of that, but that's hysterical too. If you have a Skype account, eventually somebody will say they found you in the Skype directory, which I did find out is a thing that exists. But there's a Skype directory sort of, and blah 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 blah, and they're always 24 and female and bored, right?
Yeah, that stuff has bleeded over into Facebook real bad too.
Well, there's that, and there's the women from Africa. I forget which countries, but I think they're from Ghana or from Liberia, maybe some of them. Different, you know, look, you know, Baskin and Robbins, right? Every flavor to his consumer. But, no, that's on Facebook. That's everywhere. You're inundated. So they don't email you anymore because nobody reads their email.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do read it and I do know you guys are going to have some hate mail about this. So go ahead. Contact form is at Ocelli.com and, you can yell at me about what I said earlier about women and, you know, oh, and by the way, back to that point, she's been told probably her whole life that she is so interesting.
Yeah.
And so intelligent.
Uh-huh.
And so wonderful to be around. And yeah. So special.
Yeah, yeah.
That she believes it. And
yeah, yeah.
She has no reason not to, well, probably until she turns about 40.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that, you know, or maybe 50, depends on the genetic makeup. But,
Radiohead laid it down, dude. Gravity always wins.
That's for sure.
Gravity always wins. It's God's little joke. You know, typically the way it goes is, well, I don't want to get into it, but when it comes to aging, women get the rough end of the stick, okay? Just saying, girls, enjoy it while you're young.
Well, Sam Kinison used to say, you know, it's a scary thing because, you know, first you put on weight, then she puts on weight, and then 10, 15 years later you wake up and you realize you're married to her mom.
Yeah.
You know, so keep that in mind, boys, when you look at your future mother-in-laws, is this the contract you want to sign? Okay, go ahead.
No comment. You're, one day we ought to revisit the that term paper I wrote. Do you remember that one? About the hogs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
No, I love that. I love that. As a matter of fact, anytime you want to do that, that's great. Not today, though, because I want to give it a full hour to work with it because it's so good, and you got to stop here and there.
Yeah.
We did that a couple years ago on another show. But I think people might have not heard it. We got new listeners since then. So I think they would enjoy that particular piece of work you did. And I find it to be, you know, one of your earliest and best, by the way.
I had to dig that one up from the archives, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, what else is on your mind besides, I mean, I know you're staring at Facebook and checking out, you know, the pale-skinned females, which, of course, I am definitely susceptible to as well. But I don't check them out on Facebook because half the time you're not looking at the person. She puts out videos, the one you're talking about, so you know who it is. and you know those pictures are real, and none of that stuff is staged so that it's, you know, particularly provocative or anything. No, not at all.
No, not at all. She's so beyond any of that. It's great. No, man, I don't know. Did you catch Ground Zero?
No, I did not.
Douchebag. Calling douchebag on you, Chuck.
Yeah, I know. But what, you listen, there's only so many hours in the day. And quite honestly, I don't listen to as many shows as I used to. So.
Okay, so I'll narrate then. So I go on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, right, on 420. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about GMO cannabis and, you know, Monsanto and Bayer and about to merge, and they're trying to come up with free weed. And obviously I'm there to promote Cannascense to his audience, right, which is a very considerable size, okay?
Yeah.
And so I feel, and I've been told by several people, that I knocked it out of the park, okay, that, you know, that's a breakneck speed show. You know, personally, you have to go really, really quick on that show. You don't have the luxury of kind of relaxing like you and me do, because, you know, they have so many commercial breaks. You've got to say your point. You can't be long-winded like me, right?
Well, right. Commercial breaks. You got commercial breaks. You got bumpers. You got times where he's inserting his editorials. And really, you have 2-3 minute windows in which to make your points. And that's assuming you're not on during the portion where they bring in the callers, because that sometimes causes chaos to emerge, and it changes the entire thing. So, 2-3 minutes, possibly five on a long segment. You get about 5 minutes to work with at most. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt pretty good about it. We had a good night, and I got a lot of the core information about the whole Cannascense program out, right? And thank God I had installed on my website a form, a contact form, so people who could hear the show can get a hold of me and I could walk them through the whole Cannascense thing. Well, dude, after that show, I mean, even on the show, we got so many callers from across this country, and most of them were senior citizens. Most of them were people who were suffering from, you know, cancer or from PTSD. I mean, these were people who were really, really hurting, dude. It's not what people thought it was going to be when I came on, which is, yay, we get to smoke weed legally. No, it was people who are in need. I mean, right before they brought me on, they had a guy, I believe his name was John. I'm not quite sure, but he said, he was like in his 60s, late 60s. He said, I've had 14 surgeries, and they're about to take me off my pain medications. If I can't get cannabis, I'm about to go down the street and get some heroin. All right?
Right.
And then they bring me on, and I'm like, you know, it was, you know me, man. I'm a spiritual guy. I was like, wow, I'm going to try my best to be an instrument tonight to change lives out there and give this guy an option. Hey, you know what, dude? Hey, I know they're about to take you off your pain pills. I know your only other option is heroin. But listen to me for a minute. We figured out a way for you to get access to medical cannabis, and here's how you do it, okay? And that basically set the tone for that whole show, man. And we got some serious callers in who were so excited to hear about it, you know? They were so excited to hear about it. And the amount of people that I am still sponsoring, I am working, like, if you notice, man, I haven't even been on Facebook since the show. I haven't posted anything. Because I have been every single day waking up extremely early and contacting these people and calling these people every day, walking them through the process. And, you know, like I was telling one of the other guys in the Cannascense community, I said, dude, you know, we're giving people a second shot at life. This is a divine thing, right? And I mean, it was overwhelming, and like, I might get emotional, but I'm going to read you an email I got, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm. Sure, go ahead.
Daniel, it was wonderful hearing your story on Clyde Lewis's show, and extremely lucky for me. I'm an old-school pot fan at age 72 and really looking forward to joining Cannascense Total Wellness Program as soon as I can. So this is just a note to thank you for your good work, your courage, and helpfulness. I look forward to shaking your hand someday. You know, I will be so happy to stop sneaking around like some kind of criminal securing my medicine my whole life, just to release the tension of the day that I just don't know how to thank you. Best regards, David. And, dude, I read that every day, like at least 20, 30 of them a day. All right? So I was really excited, okay?
No, hey, look, and I understand, and that was a good opportunity. That's a nice audience, and it's great. My one concern about all of this, though, I got to tell you, I have a concern about the CanaSense thing. And it's pretty simple, but I think it's a legitimate concern. And that is that a lot of times, programs like this, where something is seemingly all taken care of and all squared away, turns into a great piece of collection for people to be prosecuted. And unfortunately, utilizing the Postal Service, one, two, if you utilize a private like carrier for mail, there's other charges that are involved. Both UPS and Federal Express have both been fined and sued and all kinds of things in federal courts, millions of dollars paid back for participating in moving things across state lines. The United States Postal Service has codes against moving anything that they consider contraband, and according to the federal laws, cannabis is still what? It's still contraband. It's still a class one narcotic. I mean, so therefore, I hope that it doesn't turn into the kind of situation like where people were getting their cigarettes mailed to them from Indian reservations, Native American reservations, where there were no taxes on them. And then, 3, 4, 5 years later, you wind up with a tax bill and a legal issue. And in this case, it's not going to be a tax bill. It's going to be a felony. A large weighted felony, and in fact, even something that could lead into prosecution under RICO statutes. That's the only thing that scares me about this. And it doesn't really scare me. Scare is not a good word. It concerns me. And it's the only reason why I haven't absolutely jumped on board. And I'm wondering if anybody's thought that out. I realize, you said that there's a legal team that'll assist you if you have problems personally, but if they go through and take out the whole thing in one shot, no legal team has the resources of the federal government to sit there and run people through a ringer, in every state in the union over this by a federal prosecution that they put together en masse, which they could potentially do. So that's the thing that concerns me about getting on board, personally. What do you think of that?
So, that's one of the main, not points of contention, but concerns that people who haven't, who are looking at it, and they're like, the one thing that really gets me is how are they shipping across state lines, right?
Well, hang on just a second, because in principle, I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
And absolutely support. I want to make that clear. Like, I'm not being a naysayer here, saying that, I don't, want to agree with this or anything. I want this to be absolutely the answer, because there's needed to be an answer to this problem. And even though we've had legalizations, victories in certain places and things like that, the apothecary's located one place, the customer's located in another place. There's got to be a way to move it from A to B, and if you use the, like I say, I already made this point, but that's the thing that concerns me, is that, they'll let it go for a little while, collect the information, and nail everybody.
Well,
what do you think?
Because there's not that much time left to the show, but for anybody, Jordan Page, he's also a member of CanaSense, and I don't know if you've been to CanaSense's website, but if you go to Perspectives up at the top, Gary Franchi did an interview with Jordan Page, and they went over the specifics of how this is being done legally. Jordan Page will walk you through how they're able to legally ship across state lines, what the definitions of certain legal terms are that a lot of people really don't understand because of, like, the word regulate. We think of the word regulate as to control nowadays, but that's not the legal definition of regulate that's, say, in the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, which the Commerce Clause applies to commerce, and CanaSense is a nonprofit. So, it doesn't even really apply. The Commerce Clause doesn't apply to a nonprofit. But if you go to Perspectives and you look at the Gary Franchi interview with Jordan Page, he goes into great detail about the legalities of all this, and is specifically the using the Postal Service to mail people their medicine. I think that interview is like 45 minutes long. So for like detail legal stuff on that, I would listen to that.
Well, even better. How about if we, can we get Jordan Page to come on here?
I'm sure we can.
Well, then let's get Jordan Page to come on and talk me through this, because the way I understand it is, you know, nonprofit and all that doesn't matter, because you know what? If I, sitting in another state for no profit whatsoever, decide to gift you some through the mail, I can be charged with a felony. So I don't think the nonprofit status is the thing, but maybe there's something I don't understand here. I don't want to listen to Franchi's interview. I'd rather talk to him myself and hear what it is and have him show me that this isn't a problem. Because if it's not, then this is a great thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that this to me is the sticking point, is that I wouldn't want to sign off on something. And I know it sounds like I'm being cowardly here, but I would never want to sign off on something and encourage people to do something that is going to put them in any sort of harm's way.
Well,
that's not, you know, listen, if you make a decision to put yourself in harm's way, you know what? That's your right. But I don't want to encourage people knowingly to put themselves in harm's way if that's what I believe could be the result of my encouragement. And I know that sounds a little, you know, like I said, a little lightweight on my part, but I don't think so. I think that's being responsible. And I want to hear what this actually, you know, ends up being from Jordan. If you could arrange that, I would be really happy.
Abso-snapso, I'd love to. He'd love to come on and do it, you know. But, you know, me and him spoke earlier today, and we had a conversation about this type of stuff. And what I really like about Jordan Page, man, is I know that he's a deeply spiritual guy of a faith that I don't belong to. But that's never really been an issue with him and myself working together. And, you know, we find common ground in which to work. But today we had a discussion about, you know, how well we've been doing since the Ground Zero show. And he said, you know, we're doing God's work, man, because I'd opened up an email for him. And I said, dude, this almost made me start crying. You know, this guy's 72 something years old. He's on Social Security. This made me almost start crying in the humility that I felt for being able to change a life in some small way. And all I'm doing is getting them to a doctor's appointment in California. You know what I'm saying? And walking them through it. And he just said, you know, we're doing God's work, man. You know, and that's the way I feel about it. So.
Well, do you know how much good it would do to me? You know, this is a guy in an email, but you know me. You know very well that if I had access to this as medicine and didn't have to go through, you know, sketchy means to go get it.
Yeah.
Okay, and I was able to utilize this properly. Do you know how many problems of mine would vanish because of it? I mean, and you know me. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into details here. We don't have time. But you know exactly what this could do for somebody like me. And I guarantee you there's nothing unique about the problems I have. I mean, you know, might be an odd brew, but there's nothing unique about it. They're everywhere I go. There are people suffering from parts of what I suffer from. If you talk to them for more than 20 minutes, you find one of those problems. And quite honestly, cannabis itself is the answer. Now we just need a good way to have it delivered to people so they can utilize it as medicine and actually make life better on mass for people on a daily basis. That this, you know, and the thing is, like I said, it's just my one sticking point, and I would love to go over this with him in detail.
So if he answers that question, you're gonna sign up, bro?
If he answers that question, you know, and it makes sense, it pans out and does that, I will sign up for it and do all the things that you're doing, basically, same way. Okay, little help from you maybe. Okay, but obviously you would be somebody to sponsor me into it, and we'll do what we got to do.
Let me just. This is the way that I look at it, Chuck. Okay, the way that I personally look at it as an individual who needs cannabis for the best possible life that they can have with the least amount of suffering for the things I have to deal with on a daily basis. Okay. I'm looking at it from a simple point of view, not a legal point of view for me. And I'm saying I need this medicine. and it is a medicine. And I don't have time to wait for politicians to redefine it or give me permission after they make millions of dollars on it. I need my medicine now, and I know a lot of other people who need their medicine. And I'm looking at the legal structure and the laws of how cannabis works. And to me, they make sense. To me, I understand them, how this is legal. And so the Supreme Court has ruled that you have to, you know, in order for any state to move against me or anything, they have to prove willfulness. Well, they can't prove willfulness because I am acting in the best interest of my health and looking at the laws based off of the way that they are understood to get access to my medicine. So I'm not, there is no willfulness in me personally getting a hold of medicine under the protections of Article 4 and the Compassionate Use Act. I'm going to get my medicine. So that's just the way I look at it. And I'm also a Ninth Amendment type of guy. You know, me personally, if the state, you know, is too inept to nullify unconstitutional federal laws, then it's my job as an American to use the Ninth Amendment to say, well, you know, the state's floundered on the Constitution. I have to do it myself. And that's what being an American is. You know, and you know what? Is there a chance that, you know, that may go south? Yes, there is a chance. Okay. There's always a chance when you're dealing with government. I'm going to take the chance, you know, because I'm standing on my rights. I am standing on my rights as an American, and I'm helping other people to do it too. I'm not going to wait for these cats in Atlanta to come to my door, knock on my door, and tell me it's okay to do something I have a right to do anyway.
And look, I don't object to anything you're saying there philosophically, all the way around, except one thing. There is a difference between I could go and continue to, you know, do what I do and purchase it on the smaller level illegally. And in some cases, that's just a, you know, a disorderly person's ticket. Not a big deal. But when you start dealing with it this way, you're talking about a felony. And I'm weighing my risks, okay? So in a sense, to continue to just do it in spite of the laws being the way they are would be less of a risk than doing it this way. I'm just stating that. If you can show me that this makes more sense than doing it that way, you know, like I said, then it is a great solution. But I'm not satisfied at this point because you see how I'm weighing it. You know, what would you, if you went to go buy, you know, a small amount for personal use in the state of Georgia, what are they going to hit you with if you've never been convicted of anything, right? What is the fine, the penalty possible? What is the prosecution like? It's very quick. And how much, you know, how much damage are we talking about to your life? Not a lot. Not in comparison to trafficking, utilizing the Postal Service and all these other things that are 18 different codes that would be a problem in the scenario that I'm thinking of here. And then to participate in a criminal conspiracy, another problem with the feds, which, you know, whether they're legitimate or not, you got to contend with what's there. So, you know, that's where I'm standing on it at the moment. And I don't want to be where I'm standing, right, Daniel? I don't. But, you know, and you got to admit it's a legitimate concern at the very least.
Yeah, no, it's legitimate, you know. So it's a personal choice, you know. It's a personal choice of how you want to approach treating whatever things you have to deal with in life, whether it be anxiety, depression, or physical pain. If, you know, if you're content to use what Big Pharma gives you and wait until politicians, you know, legalize this and control it, that's fine. But I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's not a matter of being content. I'm not content, obviously. But the point is, I'm still saying I'm weighing what the risks are. And you always should do that. And
absolutely.
I say everybody do what it is that you feel you need to do to make your life work, no matter what it is. Doesn't matter what the laws are, but let's think about measuring our risks. Anyway, I hope we'll get Jordan Page on soon. Daniel Lewis Crumpton was with me in the second hour. Go to Downloaded Content. Check out his website absolutely at all times. His book is called Then Came the Flood. And Mark Windows, windowsontheworld.net, was with us in the first hour. The Ocelli Effect is done, but I'll see you guys again tomorrow night with Carmine and maybe a special guest or two. Have a good night, everybody.
Download the content podcast. Download content. Dot com.